From NPR News, this is Weekends and All Things Considered. I'm Jackie Leiden. Coming up on the show, the rush to document a dying German dialect in Texas. But we'll start out the show this week in another part of the country, Rhode Island. This small New England state is home to beautiful beaches, top-notch universities, and a thriving arts scene. But beneath the surface, Rhode Island is an example of what states all over the country are facing: shrinking revenues, lost jobs, and general economic malaise. In Rhode Island's capital city, Providence, the issue has come to a head around the future of a once iconic building. That's our cover story today. A look at the Rhode Island economy through the windows of the tallest building in Providence, the now vacant Industrial Trust Tower, also known as the Superman Building.
We're standing right in front of the Industrial Trust Tower in the heart of Kennedy Plaza.
Bill Fisher is the spokesperson for High Rock Development, which took ownership of this Providence landmark on May 1st and presented a controversial proposal to turn it into luxury apartments, and taxpayers are being asked to fund the project. The building is empty now for the first time in 85 years, and that casts a shadow over a city struggling to reinvent its economy. Standing with Fisher on the front sidewalk, I can almost feel the tension over the future of the affectionately named Superman Building. When did it become known as the Superman Building?
Some of us who are a little older remember the 1950s original Superman TV series.
Faster than a speeding bullet.
And at the beginning of that show, they had him leaping buildings with a single bound.
Able to leap tall buildings at a single
bound. Then they had an image of a building that was very similar to this. It was not this building, but people thought it was for a while.
Yes, it's Superman.
And the name caught on, the Superman Building, and it's part of the Rhode Island lexicon, I guess, as they say. Things like that stick in Rhode Island.
When you buy the tallest, most prominent, and instantly recognizable property in town, suddenly everyone has an opinion about its future.
Yep, it's kind of the buzz around here right now. Yep, everybody's asking what's going to happen to the Superman Building.
A security guard posted outside didn't want us to use his full name. With the Rhode Island unemployment rate at 9.1%, who can blame him? But standing under the Superman Building day after day, Bill hears a lot of the debate going on downtown.
So hopefully they'll do the right thing, and what that is, I don't know. They're talking apartments. You know, I don't know if we need any more apartments downtown. Some people say yes, some people say no.
On April 30th, High Rock Development presented their demands. Here's what they asked for: $39 million of unspecified assistance from the state of Rhode Island, $10 to $15 million in tax breaks from the city of Providence. So for a grand total of $54 million from the state and city combined, Providence will get a couple hundred high-end apartments. Taxpayers go back and forth over whether that's a good investment.
I don't think that's a good idea, apartments. They should turn it into something that's going to help get more jobs out there for the people. That's about it.
They're trying to borrow money from the state. The state needs it. Look at all the people that's homeless.
Yeah, as long as they make it equal housing and low income, go ahead, do the thing. Do it. You know, housing is what we need, but we need low income housing. You know, not any more luxury apartments.
I think it should be turned into those condos, but I don't see where the city right now can come up with the money to help them fund it.
We just heard from Rhode Islanders Wendy Bolero, Roger Isley, Sandra Theus, and Frank P. Vieira as they waited for buses at the depot across from the Superman Building. But I wanted to go inside.
We're walking right now into the bank lobby, or what was the bank lobby.
Bill Fisher, spokesman for the development company, took us inside the dusty, cavernous main hall, where up to a month ago, residents could come in and cash a check. Now it's deserted.
This is my first time back in the building since the bank closure on April 20th. And when I was here, there was a hustle and bustle of bank tellers and employees and customers. The pens are still in the slots. I mean, and so to stand here today, it's a bit eerie in here, and it's kind of sad.
Let's think of it this way. This building is Rhode Island's Empire State Building. This isn't a purely economic decision for the city and state. There's huge emotional attachment to this 1927 Art Deco skyscraper. Do you think the city, let me put this gently,
yeah,
do you have them over the barrel?
No. How gentle was that? Look, we have great respect for Mayor Tavares and his team. Yeah, we want the city and the state to be a partner in this, but it needs to be viewed from a unique perspective, because the alternative is we flood the market with Class B office space, or we mothball it for a while. And that's not some sort of political or retaliatory tactic. It's a sound real estate tactic.
I asked Fisher if that building wouldn't better serve the people of Rhode Island as an office building, attracting a business to bring jobs downtown.
We think adding 450 residents to downtown Providence can change the direction of the city. We're talking about, you know, annual spending just in sales tax alone from those residents, so totaling $26 million. So there's real economic impacts if they're willing to make the investment and if they're willing to think long term.
For this particular investment, there's far more at stake than just money, because Rhode Island is still feeling burned from a previous debacle that attracted national attention. In 2010, former Red Sox pitcher Curt Schilling asked Rhode Island for a $75 million loan to start a video game company in Providence. Schilling came to the state after Massachusetts had turned him down for the funding. He promised Rhode Island hundreds of jobs, and the hope was that a successful tech company would draw more business to the state. So Schilling got almost everything he asked for. He was a local sports hero, but not experienced with tech startups, which some say should have been a red flag. Last year, 38 studios went bankrupt, and Rhode Island was left with the bill.
Eventually, they defaulted on the bonds and they went belly up. So now, instead of really trying to make our economy better, the debate is, should we allow those bonds to default?
Len Lodaro is an economist at the University of Rhode Island, and he's one of the go-to guys for an analysis of the state's economy. Lodaro wasn't surprised when 38 studios declared bankruptcy last year.
This was something that was supposed to be a real game changer to give Rhode Island a major presence in the gaming industry.
And Lodaro worries that the state is in for a second round of defaulted loans if they rashly support redevelopment of the Superman building.
Well, let's see how well or how badly run the city and state are. Because if they get major concessions of the magnitude they're looking for, then Rhode Island will have earned its lagging status.
Maybe Len Lodaro doesn't need to worry so much. This time around, state and city representatives have been openly critical of High Rock's proposal.
A city is more than a building.
In Providence, Mayor Angel Tavares seems determined not to let his city make the same mistake twice.
If you are asking for governmental support, you certainly need to look at all possibilities. Certainly I will as mayor.
The Superman building is hard to ignore from his ornate City Hall office with direct views of the imposing tower from every window. But Tavares is hesitant to endorse High Rock's proposal until he has more information.
We will figure out what we can reasonably do to be helpful, and also the market will dictate some things as well. But I believe it's going to be a symbol of renewal, and I look forward to that.
And in the meantime, Mayor Angel Tavares has bigger issues to address.
The challenges we face as a city are similar to challenges that cities face across the country, and that is getting as many people back to work as possible. We need to increase the pace of employment.
They don't want to send down a lot of jets. They just want to disappear.
Yeah, this is working good.
Even on the state's gorgeous beaches, the stress of long-term unemployment is a constant presence.
My name is David Kitchens. I'm 53, and I have a bachelor's degree in physics. And what I'm doing here as part of a FEMA grant is doing beach restoration and cleanup from the Hurricane Sandy.
Kitchens tells us that usually there are 8 men working on East Matunuck State Beach, but today there are only 4. All these men are long-term unemployed veterans, and they've been working since spring, shoveling sand from the beach pavilion and the parking lots.
Old-time honest labor.
Today, Kitchens and his team are putting up a fence to preserve the fragile sand dunes. Rhode Island has the highest unemployment in New England and the 6th highest unemployment in the entire country, 9.1%.
The economic situation in Rhode Island, at the time that I got this job, it was still over 10% unemployment. So, you know, after 150 resumes and some 25 or 30 different interviews, this finally came along.
Working with Kitchens is John Douglas. He's been job hunting for 3 years and is grateful for this temporary gig, even though it's coming to an end in June.
I was in the construction, mining industry, and with the economy hitting the skids with home building and stuff, it really fell right off.
It's started to come back now a little bit, so hopefully things will change. But right now, this is very good. This is good work. Get to go to the beach every day.
A lot of the people we spoke with were optimistic for the future of their state. But not far from the beach where David Kitchens and his crew are cleaning up, economist Len Lodaro at the University of Rhode Island studies his charts and worries that if the city and state mishandle the Superman building, it will derail economic progress again.
I think that the national thing to learn from our handling of the Superman building is don't get too tied to the past. You've got to always look at the best possible use going forward, not looking back. And you don't do that by being nostalgic with your money.
And in such a beautiful 19th century city, saturated with history, forward momentum is what Providence and the state of Rhode Island need to pull out of the recession slump. Even so, all eyes are on the Superman building and its bright green beacon that casts a constant light over the nighttime cityscape for now. Coming up, another reading from our 3-Minute Fiction series, and a cappella aficionado Deke Sharon shows me how to beatbox. You don't want to miss that, so stay tuned. This is NPR News.